tonight, and then the Covenant players are going to come back and wrap it up. We are once again talking about the power of passionate young people. All right, Mark chapter 2. We've been talking about this for the last 4 weeks or so, and I believe, you know, we live in a pretty passionate generation. There's a lot of people passionate about a lot of stuff. I meet people that are pretty passionate about their tattoos and people that are passionate about their piercings and some people that are passionate about their pets and, you know, all kinds of stuff. But I really believe that sometimes the trap that we can fall into is we forget how to be passionate about God. And that's something that God wants for each of us. If you're here tonight and you don't know about Jesus, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about him tonight. And I hope you open your heart for a few minutes and we're going to have a good time as we get into the Word. Do you guys love the Bible? Do you really love the Bible? Do you love the whole Bible? Every bit, every page of the Bible, from front to back, back to front, top to bottom. Do you like the back cover and the front cover? All right. Do you like the table of contents? Okay. Just checking. Open it up to Mark chapter 2. Starting in verse 1, here we go. It's talking about Jesus. This is right at the beginning. As he started his ministry, you can tell us at the beginning of his ministry because it's the second chapter of the book. All right, here it goes. And again, he entered Capernaum after Sundays, and it was heard that he was in the house. Everyone say in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Everyone say word up. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic. He was paralyzed, who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where Jesus was. Now, this is kind of cool. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, everyone say their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there reasoning in their hearts. They were thinking to themselves, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins except God?" But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But so that you can know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go home." Immediately he arose, took up the bed and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for your word. God, thank you that it applies to us. Lord, thank you for giving it to us tonight. Now, Father, we want to be responsible with the word that you've given to us. Lord, we don't want to just live our lives without it. But Lord, tonight, would you apply it to our hearts? Father, help us to understand it. Lord, and we want to obey your word tonight in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right, we're talking about passionate young people, and we've talked about it for the last few weeks, the need for passion in our lives, in everything, but especially when it comes to God. You may be a passionate evangelist like what we've seen tonight. I hope not, but that's okay. God's not just looking for results from your life. He's looking for your heart. And that's what passion is all about. So we've sought out to kind of explore and examine a few young people in the Bible that were really passionate about God's purpose for them. We talked about how the very definition of the word passion literally means to glow or to boil over. I'm not talking about having some big boil on your head, but that passion would be coming out of your life that people around you would understand. It's something visible. It's something that everyone can see. Two weeks ago, we talked about just the whole need for this area of encouragement. Tell your neighbor, encourage me. Some of you need encouragement tonight. Nicholas, encourage me. All right. And, because everybody needs encouragement. And no matter how passionate you are, no matter how excited you are, without encouragement, eventually you will dry up. Now, I saw a show one time. This is the truth. And it was a study about dogs. And it was of course, on Discovery Channel or something. And they did this program about dogs, and they were examining the difference between the way you speak to dogs, how it affects your dog. Did you realize this? And so they went up to these dogs, and they were talking, especially little dogs. You know, the little yappy dogs, the kind that you want to step on? You just want to just grab their little dog heads, little chihuahuas and stuff. And little dogs, they had a lot of energy and stuff. And they were talking about how with these little yappy dogs, there's so much energy. The way you talk to them makes a huge difference. With big dogs, you're like, hey, Bruno, how you doing? You know? And you talk to them. With little dogs, you can't talk like that. You can't go, hey, Chi-Chi, fetch. You know? Because little Chi-Chi will just walk around going, But if you walk to me, you go, hey, Chi-Chi, Chi-Chi, Bitchy, Mini, Mitchy, Mini. And the little dog will run around there. And he'll be doing little doggy backflips and spin around, peeing all over the floor. He's so happy. It makes a big difference. And they had these dogs, and the dog trainers would walk around with them, and they showed it. They go, hey, Chi-Chi, come on, Chi-Chi. And little Chi-Chi's, ah, 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 ah. And then they kept running next to him, and they started going, hey, Chi-Chi, Chi-Chi, how you doing? And Chi-Chi just, you know, just started walking around, and it was so calm. And they were saying, it's different the way you talk to this dog. They can tell when you're passionate about them, when you're excited about them. They get really excited. And you know, I know you're not a dog named Chi-Chi, but in some ways you're like that. When people encourage you and they speak nicely to you and they tell you, hey man, you're doing good today. Yeah, you know, before the service, I told Elvin, I said, Elvin, you know, you're looking good, but what happened to your spiky hair? And he goes, hey, did you notice Elvin doesn't have spiky hair anymore? Yeah, he's bad. I know. Someone goes, oh my goodness. You know, we'll pray for you. All right? You have to update your websites. Elvin does not have spiky hair. And he says, you know, yeah, well, you know, I did. I said, well, you look cool with spiky hair. What happened to it? And he goes, really? And he goes, no one told me that I look cool. I guess I'll have to spike my hair again. It's the power of encouragement. Chee, 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 chee. No, I'm just kidding. There's something about that in your life that it helps you to stay passionate. Now you've got to get a hold of that and understand it's powerful. And sometimes you don't feel like encouraging people, but listen, it's not for you, it's for them. And I promise you, if you are an encourager, you will be encouraged one day. You will. I promise you, because I remember I watched this happen a long time. You know, I remember one of the first people that ever preached here at the Edge, one of the youth ministers, was Grace. And I made a point when Grace preached, I said amen really loud and all the time. No one else said amen, but I did. I said amen. She said, you know, will you open your Bibles to amen? You know, I'd like to do amen. You know, and the whole time. And now I know when I preach, Grace always says amen, because she knows. She's like, I feel sorry for that guy. I gotta say amen. Gotta say amen. It's something, see, amen. It's something about the power of encouragement. Now, I want to move on and talk about some other passionate young people tonight in Mark chapter 2. I'm not going to take long, few minutes, and I'm just going to walk you through this story. Can we just talk tonight? Is that okay? If we just talk a little bit? Yeah, you don't have to say amen. You can actually just say, yeah, you know, it's okay. You're not in like the, you know, 5th century or something. So I don't have PowerPoint. I don't have anything, because we're just going to talk. Okay, we're just gonna have a little chat and look at these guys. And so this story comes at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He's just started to do a lot of miracles, and it comes up in three of the gospels, in three of the synoptic gospels. This story is there in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and they're called synoptic gospels because they give you a synopsis of Jesus' life and ministry. They give you kind of just a general picture, and this story is in all three of them, which means it's an important thing. And you'll find that in, especially as you begin to look at Luke and some of the others, that this happens right after a period of time where Jesus had healed a bunch of guys. He traveled to this other land and cast out, you remember he heals this demon-possessed man and sends the demons into the pigs. Do you remember that story? This is right after that. Right after that, the demons go in the pigs, wee, 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 all the way home over the cliff, and the people say, look, get out of our town, you're weird. And so Jesus takes off across the boat, and he ends up in Capernaum. And this is the first thing that happens, okay? And so he enters this place, Capernaum, and this is one of the major places that Jesus does his ministry. There's two, he was in Galilee and around, and Capernaum is another one of the, I mean, this is his spot. This is his street corner where he does all his work, and this is where everybody knows him. And so Jesus is famous, okay? He's not walking into a place where no one knows him. This is his moment. So when he comes back and he goes into Capernaum, it actually says he was in the house, or he was in his house. So he had a place that he stayed there. A lot of people think it was at Peter's house, and that's where they played PlayStation on Mondays. And so he gets there and people hear about it and they say, hey, Jesus is here. Jesus is here. We got to come. People start coming into this house to find him because they already know about him. They know what happened across the lake. They know all about it. And they start coming to find this guy. And the house is full. Because if you knew that this guy could heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, do all kinds of miracles, walk on the water. I mean, this guy is not just a good preacher. He is the very word of God. He's not just a cool, holy guy. He is God in the flesh. You would be running like crazy to get to this house to hear it, right? You would, right? Please say yes. My goodness, Lord, help us. If Jesus comes, will you promise to go and listen to him preach? All right. Man. Okay. So they all start running. They're filling up the house. And then it says this, you know, they begin to fill up. There's no more room left. People can't hear him. And he had already established his ministry, done all these miracles. And then verse 3 says this. Okay, immediately they gather together. There's no more room. And it says, then they came to him bringing a paralytic. Now, these guys are a little slow. Have you ever known someone that's a little slow? You tell a joke, and then 5 minutes later they go, little slow. You know what I'm talking about? I preach a point, everyone goes, amen, and then 5 minutes later, amen. Little slow. Elvin changed his hair, a little slow. All right? So these guys are a little slow. They missed it. They missed the boat, and they show up, and the house is packed. Everybody is inside. They cannot get in, all right? The worship team's playing. The whole thing's going, and they cannot get inside this house. And so they're figuring, they brought this paralyzed guy. They dragged him all the way from wherever he was lying paralyzed. They carried him all the way there. There were no horses. There were horses, but there were no MRTs. There were no buses or whatever. These guys, I'm sure, didn't own horses, and they had to walk all the way there. And when they get there, the house is full. Now, this is frustrating. Not just full, I mean, it's packed outside to the point that they couldn't even hear him. I mean, that's a long way out. And so they couldn't come near the house, it says, because of the crowd. They couldn't even get near to Jesus. And they're figuring, what are we going to do with this guy? So the first guy says, well, we could just leave him here and come back for him later, you know? And paralyzed guy says, no, don't do it, you know? And so they're deciding, you know, what do we do with this guy? What do we do with him? I don't know. And so they come to Jesus and they carry this man. And I'm telling you, young person, the thing you've got to understand about this story is that this paralytic man, this paralyzed man, I really believe he represents our generation. He really does. And that's the first thing you've got to symbolically, these men are carrying him, but he represents our generation. He represents people in need of a touch from Jesus. This guy is sick. This guy is immobile. But you'll find later in the story when he shows up and he is in front of Jesus, and we'll talk about it in a minute, Jesus says, you know what? I forgive you of all your sins. You see, he's sick. He's dealing with stuff. But his real problem is that he's not right with God. His real problem is he needs forgiveness in his life. And so they want to bring him to Jesus. And these four guys, they're a lot like us. They're a lot like people that know Jesus. They're a lot like you and I. They want to help him out. And they want to get him some good help. But they have obstacles in front of them. Number one, they're hindered by the crowd. They can't get through this crowd. There's just too many people. But thank God they wouldn't let it stop them. Number two, they're hindered by the roof. You know, you can't just suddenly like kick a hole through the roof and let him down. There's a problem when you have to dig through someone's roof, all right? I don't know if you've ever tried that, but it's probably harder than it sounds. But the thing is, this guy, this paralyzed man, they knew this. They're passionate about this. Are you catching the passion in these guys? They don't just stop. They don't just go to 7-Eleven and come back later. They're passionate about getting him in. This guy needed to get to Jesus. Now, what I want you to understand is that this paralyzed man, you know, he needed it, but I wonder if he probably didn't want to go through all the trouble that they went through to get there. I mean, I'm sure he wanted to be healed, but one thing, when you have a disease, when you have something that's debilitating and it's affecting your physical body, the one thing that you do not want is attention. You don't want people staring at you. You don't want people making fun of you. You don't want people, you don't want four guys dragging you around town in a blanket. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, what if he didn't even want to get there? We're going to take you to Jesus. No, don't do it. What? I can't hear you. They pick up, you know, you're just coming anyway. And poor little paralyzed guy, you know, is like lying there. He has no say in this. And I'm sure, you know, that this guy probably would have given up if it wasn't for these guys. And you and I, we live in a time where there are barriers that stop people from getting to God. Some of you tonight, you're in this place, you're not a Christian. There are things that will stop you from getting to God. Even as I'm talking, there are things that are stopping you from really opening up and really listening to me tonight. There's a lack of interest in some people. Some of your friends just don't want to listen when you tell them about God. They don't want to listen when you say, hey, come to church with me. Sometimes there's schedule problems. I mean, they've got things on. Well, I got to go get a new, you know, piercing in my head or something, you know, next week. So I can't make it. You know, sometimes it's their friends. Well, I don't know anybody there. You know, my friends don't hang out there. We're all downtown eating dogs or something. And I don't know. We're busy. Sometimes it's pressure. Everyone else is doing something else. They're thinking some other thing. So they don't want to go. There's barriers. Sometimes it's just misunderstandings. They don't know what church is about. They don't know what God's about. They're not sure. They think that, you know, you're weird. And you smell funny. Maybe you smell funny, but you're not weird. And they're not so sure. And that can keep people from God. Now, where's Aaron? Aaron, where are you at? Stand up, Aaron. Stand up. Go ahead. This is my man, Aaron. Yep. Give him a hand. Be encouragers. All right. Aaron has, you know, been coming to the Edge for a month or so now. I met him at ACS. Bark Road. And the first time I met Aaron, I was sharing there in their chapel, and he came up to me afterwards, and this is the truth, right, to make sure they know I'm not lying. And he said to me, you know what, wow, I didn't know that God was like that. He said, when last time I heard someone speak, this pastor, he was mad, he was angry at everyone, and he was saying, rah, 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 you know, and I didn't know, the way you say it is different. Is that the truth? A misunderstanding, right? And he would have known about God a long time ago if someone clarified for him what God was really about. Is that true now? Now he's in love with Jesus. My goodness, the man is on fire, holy man of God, and he's just ready to win his whole city for Christ. Give him another big hand. You can sit down. And what is it? It's misunderstanding. Sometimes people just don't understand what God's about. Well, it's a barrier that stops you. Just like they want to get to Jesus. There's people, there's a roof, there's stuff. Now, roofs back then are different. It's not like a little house with some tiles. And you just begin. Roofs back then, they're like these square, kind of, well, not square, but rectangular houses. And they often had flat roofs. And the roof wasn't just a roof. It's not concrete. It's not like, you know, plaster. It was dirt and ash and different rocks. And on top of the dirt was like grass and sometimes wheat. In fact, they even sometimes they had goats on top of their roof eating grass. That's really they. So when these guys go up there, it's a bigger deal. You know, they're like, man, what are we going to do? There's a goat and there's goat poop everywhere. I don't know. You know, is this a rock or what? I don't know. And you never thought of it that way. They've got barriers, and some people, it's these other things. Sometimes it's just a lack of opportunity. This guy didn't have an opportunity. He's paralyzed. He's stuck right where he is. He has no opportunity, so they go to make an opportunity, but there's still barriers. There's still other things, and maybe you've tried to make an opportunity for someone. Maybe tonight you're here because someone gave you the opportunity to come, but there's still some other barriers. There's barriers in your mind, in your family, in your culture, different things. I'm not sure about this. I don't feel like I connect with this. But these guys are so passionate to break through every barrier, and I love it. I love the way Mark writes. He's just a cool writer. He's different than the other Gospels. He has these cool words that he uses. He says, so when they had broken through, they let down the bed on the paralytic. I mean, these guys are into it. They got to keep going until they break through this roof. So they pick up the goat. They move him to the side. They brush away the goat stuff, you know. They start digging in this. And this is hard work. This isn't easy stuff. They're digging in the dirt, pulling up the grass. And then it says in other translations, underneath the dirt, there's tiles. Then they got to lift the tiles up. All the while, they're, you know, Jesus is talking. Dirt's falling down. A goat or two falls through the roof, you know. They're not, he's like, I'm not sure what's going on, you know. In the Old Testament, there was manna, now there's goats. I don't know what this is. And so, stuff is happening. Now, this is hard, but these guys, they've got a vision in their heart. Everyone say vision. I love it. They're passionate about this. And young person, you've got to have a vision today. You've got to have a vision for what you're trying to do. You may have tried to reach people to the Lord, but until you really are captured with a vision for winning souls, until you're captured with a vision for your generation, it will never, ever succeed in your life. You're not going to be able to break through. They've got something that captured them. Proverbs says this, that hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Something you're hoping for and it doesn't come to pass, or it keeps getting delayed, it makes you sick inside. That's a real vision. When it doesn't happen, you don't just go, oh, well, if it's God's will, maybe it'll happen. Maybe it won't. Oh, well, I'll go play PlayStation now because I'm, you know, that's not it. When it's a real vision, if it doesn't come to pass, you get sick inside. You can't stand it anymore. You can't wait any longer. Man, the minute I had a vision of Carissa being my wife, that was it. I was sick. Sick, sick, sick. I had to come here one summer and be in Singapore and she was in America. I was useless. I was miserable. I sat at home doing nothing all day long. I woke up at like 2 o'clock. I went to bed at 5. You know, I just sit there on the internet waiting. Is she online yet? Is she online yet? No, no. Finally, my dad sat me down. He's like, Jeremy, you've got to get out of the house. You're a bum, you know? You've got to do something with your life. Okay, okay. You know, I had to get my mind in check. Why? I was sick. So you're sick with this thing. God, you've got to give me this generation. There's something you put in me, but it's not just, well, we'll see if it works. We'll see if it doesn't. Maybe it'll happen. Maybe it won't. Maybe some people get saved. Maybe a net will start. I don't know. It's all in God's hands. No, is there a vision in your heart? I've got to have it. I've got to get through this route. There's barriers, there's obstacles, there's people, there's stuff, there's even goats, but I've got to get through. You just got to get these other things out of my way because I've got a vision in my heart. There's something inside of me I've got to get through. Come on. You've got to have a vision in your life. Something, it's different. I'm telling you, it's different when you start running with vision. It's different than when your net leader forces you to do evangelism. They pick up your hand and they say, knock that door or I'll knock you out. Okay. All right, you know, knock, knock, knock. Yeah, what do you want? I was just wondering. Do you know Jesus? You know, but if you don't, it's okay, never mind. That's not a vision. My God, that's not a vision. Come on. What's the vision in your heart? What do you see inside of you? What is going to drive you till you're so sick you can't stop until you see it? I've got a vision for this generation. I've got a vision that wakes me up in the morning. I've got a vision that gets me here every week. I can't number the times. I don't even care how many times that I've come to a service or I've come to the edge and I've been sick. I mean, I'm running fevers. I don't feel like it, but there's a vision in my heart. I've got to break through. I've got to. It's bigger than me. It's not just, well, if it does not, don't, you know, I hate it when people are sick and, you know, you come to pray for me. Lord, if it's your will, heal him. My goodness, don't ever pray for me like that. If it's your will, heal him. If my leg's falling off, just tell me you're going to be healed in Jesus' name. Have a vision in your heart. You know what I'm talking about? Man, these guys had a vision. Incredible. Break through every barrier. And Jesus sees their faith. And you know, the thing about Jesus is, Jesus has a lot of faith. Are you with me? Can you say amen? Now, God believes in God. Did you realize that? If there's one thing that God believes in, it is God. I mean, he believes very strongly that he is God. And he knows that he can do absolutely anything. He has no doubt about that. No identity crisis, no multiple personality syndrome. He is very secure in that. Okay? There are no anxiety attacks. There is no, disorders in him. He understands. And so there are very few times in the scripture that Jesus is impressed with someone else's faith. There's not a lot of times. In fact, most of the times that Jesus says the word faith, it's while he's rolling up a newspaper, hitting his disciples over the head and saying, you don't have enough faith. It didn't really hurt, did it? A little bit. All right. But this time he's impressed. This time something catches him. He says, when he saw their faith, okay, they broke through and they let down the paralytic. Now, this poor paralyzed guy, I mean, the man is probably having a heart attack. He's not just paralyzed. He's not just carried all through town. He's not just taken up on top of a roof, put down next to a goat, you know, trying to blow the goat's tail out of his face. And now he's let through the roof. He's totally helpless. Absolutely helpless. They're letting him down, you know, one little inch at a time, and he doesn't know what's going to happen. Don't drop me. Don't drop me. Don't drop me. And they put him down in front of Jesus, and Jesus says, when he saw their faith. Interesting. Not when they saw his faith. Not when Jesus saw the paralyzed guy's faith. When he saw the friend's faith. I mean, he's taken back. Man, these people are passionate. These people have faith. They didn't just go and get a latte and wait. Maybe it's the wrong season. Maybe God wants to do something else. Maybe this isn't the time for him to get healed. No, God, we believe it. We've got a vision. There's something burning in our hearts, and we're not going to stop until we see this happen. We've got to have it. I'm getting sick inside. I've got to have it. And when he sees their faith, this is weird. Jesus turns and he says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." That's amazing. Not just you're healed. This guy gets forgiven of his sin. This guy gets salvation. We talked about it tonight. We sang about it. This guy gets salvation because of someone else's faith. Now that kind of messes with your head a little bit. Does that kind of mess with your theology? I don't know if you think about that, but he gets saved because of someone else. Jesus says, you know what? Your friends really believe this. Your sins are forgiven. Because this story is not a healing story. I don't know if you realize that. This story is a salvation story. This is a story about faith. Jesus has already proven he can heal. He can cast out demons. He's got nothing left to prove about that. He's proving a point about forgiveness here. And Jesus knows these guys really mean it. These guys took a risk. Can you imagine if you picked up your paralyzed friend and you carried him all through the town? I mean, you carried him everywhere. You drug him, you know, along the ground, and you finally got to Jesus. You dug a hole in the roof, put the goat on the side, let him down, and then, you know, Jesus goes, I really don't have time right now. Oh, sorry. Sorry to mess up the meeting. We'll just take this paralyzed guy and go. They're risking a lot. Can you imagine how everyone would have made fun of these guys forever? They let him down. Jesus says, I hope you get healed if it's the Lord's will, you know, and then, no, I don't feel anything. Oh, sorry. Nothing happens. I mean, these guys put it all out. And so Jesus is totally impressed, and he forgives this man. Now, that's not what they were after. They wanted him to be healed. But you see, this is a picture of our generation. This is a picture of your friends. This is a picture of some of you tonight in this place. Are you with me? Give me a few more minutes, and I'll wrap this up. It's a picture of us without Jesus, paralyzed, immobile. We can't do much. And Ephesians chapter 2 says this. Turn there in your Bible if you've got it tonight. Would you do that? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Write that scripture down because it's an amazing scripture. Ephesians 2, 1. It says, and you were dead. Everyone say dead. You were dead. Everybody say dead. Did you get that? You were dead. You were dead as a doornail. You were drop dead, Fred, all right? You were dead in your trespasses and sins. And then jump down to verse 11. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope. Are you with this? No hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That's like this guy. No hope. You've got nothing. You're strangers. You're not friends with Jesus. You're not near Jesus. You're on a mat somewhere on the other side of town. You got no hope. You're dead. You're just sitting there. I mean, when you're paralyzed, it's like you're as good as dead. You can't move. You can't feed yourself. You can't do anything. You might as well be dead. And this guy who's far away is suddenly brought near. And you see, some people, sometimes this is like us. This is like our generation. Because some people come with sickness. Some people come paralyzed. Some people come paralyzed because of things going on at school. They just can't take the pressure. They can't take everything that's happening at home and their parents hounding them and everything else. Some people come paralyzed because of the situation that they're going through with their friends. Some people come paralyzed looking for Jesus to touch them because they're depressed. God, I need something. I don't know what, and I'll just try Jesus. Come paralyzed because of suicidal thoughts and tendencies. Come paralyzed because of addictions and different things. I'll just try it. Maybe Jesus can do it. Jesus can do it. But the bottom line is, what every one of us really, really need is forgiveness. That's what we really need, is forgiveness. We come with a lot of needs. In fact, we even bring people to Jesus with a lot of needs. But the bottom line is, are you right with God? Because if you could get this issue of your relationship with God right, everything else can work out. Everything else is going to be okay. Everything else God can take care of. So what are we going to do tonight? What are we going to do? There is literally a generation around us that needs God in their life. They need an intervention. I mean, they just need a Holy Ghost explosion inside their life. They're paralyzed. They've got needs, but they need the forgiveness of God more than anything. Can you say amen? There's a paralyzed generation around you. What are we going to do? I believe you need three things like these guys had. Number one, you need the right steps. Everyone say, the right steps. You got to have the right steps. You need a vision in your heart. Are you guys still with me tonight? Is it okay just to talk to you and not get you all crazy and hyped up? You need a vision in your heart, but more than that, you need steps. We don't just need vision today. We got a lot of dreamers. There's people on drugs that have visions, but that doesn't do anything for the, I see a purple buffalo, you know? That's not going to help you. You can fly high as a kite and have all the visions you want. It's not going to change your life. You'll still be a bum when you get down to ground level, you know, but when you have a vision, what you need is action then. You need some steps to take. These guys had a vision. It's important. You've got to have it, but then you need steps. You need action. I need some helpers tonight. I need some volunteers. Okay, four guys here on the front row. Huh? Oh, are they big guys? Kind of. All right, four men. Where are you? Come on out. Four guys. I'm waiting for four guys. All right, you're kind of big. All right, just come on up here. Yeah, come on up. Encourage them. Hurry, come up, run up. Run. Come quick. Quick. Quickly. Quicker. All right, that really wasn't fast at all, but that's okay. All right, now I need someone smaller than you. Hopefully. Sala. No, I'm just kidding. Just so it works. Where's Joel? Region 5-6. Joel, where are you? I see you. Get up here. All right, these are my men, my four men, the four steps. Now, you're lucky, you know, as a youth ministry, that God's given a vision of this church with not just vision, not just pie in the sky, but steps. Everyone say steps. There's steps that make you effective in your vision for God. And I really believe this, that for us as a church, God just spoke this into my heart, that these four men, they represent really like the ladder of success for us. That we look to win people, this is our vision, then consolidate people. Do we have tape or something? Then disciple them and then send them. And that's how you become effective in reaching people. Now, these guys, they needed steps. They needed action. They needed, you know, some certain things that they could do to get that man to Jesus, to get the kind of miracle that they needed to happen, to take place. Can you say amen? And it's very, very important. You see, it doesn't work unless you have all the steps. All right. So this is Mr. Wynn right over here. Okay, come here, Joel. Now, lie down. Be paralyzed. In Jesus' name. All right. Okay? Now, my four men over here, Wynn Consolidated, do you have tape on yours? Okay. They're gonna help him out. They're going to take Joel to Jesus. They're going to help you. All right, Joel? So I want each of you to grab one limb. All right? One of you grab an arm. The other one another arm. One a leg. The other leg. No, just the arm. Not the shoulder. Just the arm. Just yank him. Yeah, all right. Now lift him up. All right. Joel's working out. Look at him. All right, he's getting ready for NS. Yeah, just relax. Just hang loose, buddy. Not bad, right? Now, these guys can bring Joel wherever they want. Go ahead and bring him, you know, bring him somewhere. Let's pretend Jesus is over there. No problem. Joel's going to be all right. Just parade him around, kind of, you know? All right, you can bring him back. It's nice underwear, Joel. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. Encourage. Now, no problem, right? These guys are going to get Joel to Jesus. All right, now put him down. Joel's going to be okay. Oh, it really is nice underwear. All right. And he's going to be all right. No, you're still paralyzed. Pull your pants up. But you know what happens? You know what happens if you don't get the right steps? Sometimes we try. I'm going to try and get people to. I'm going to bring my friends to the edge. But then we don't take the steps and nothing becomes effective in the vision in our life. Bring them to the edge, bring them to that, whatever. But we don't really follow through. We don't see, oh, I've got to win. I got to consolidate. I got to get them to the encounter. I got to disciple them. Get them really firm in their belief in God and then send them out as a net leader. Well, I'm not sure about all the steps. So we skip a couple. You know, let's say we just forget about, you know, no, we'll keep you for now. All right. I like you. We'll forget about you. All right. It's okay. All right, we forget about Mr. Disciple. And so now try it. Now everyone grab a limb, just one limb. One each. All right. Now Joel, no, grab the other one so they can see his face. Here, grab that arm right there. Yeah, no, let go of that arm. Yeah, okay, now grab him. Here we go. It's okay. It's all right. Censored. Now look, now Joel, are you comfortable? Are you having a good time? Can you imagine transporting a paralyzed guy like this? letting him down through the roof. He's trying to cover up his underwear. He's not sure what's going on. Not good, right? Are you with me? Not good. You got to have all four. Everyone say four steps. All right, let's try it. Okay, let's get rid of one more. Okay, try it, guys. Pick him up. Go ahead. One each. Now look, he's like, okay. All right, just one. Andes, I want you to pick up Joel's foot. I want you to take him over there to Annabella, all right? Not good, right? Okay, you can stop. Are you getting it? Four steps. Very important. You got to have steps in your vision. Give him a big hand. Thank you, Joel. See, you got to have steps. You guys can go. It doesn't work with just one. And this is why it's important, even when you're starting in with these neighborhood gatherings, it's important. Look, you've got to get a vision in your heart. It's important. Now you've got to have steps. I believe if we would be faithful with the steps that God's given us, if you have a vision, if you're passionate about reaching people for the Lord, come on, get going in your neighborhood, get going in your campus, begin to walk through these steps. Each one, take the right steps and really see that thing accomplished, and don't stop until you've broken through. Everyone say, don't stop. Come on, poke your neighbor, tell him, don't stop. You need to take the right steps. And secondly, you've got to break through. Don't stop short. That's why their faith affected Jesus. Because they didn't stop until they broke through. Because Jesus realized, man, these guys, that when they had to pick up the grass and the roof and the tiles, they just kept going until they got to the end. And lastly, you've got to have faith. Everyone say faith. This whole thing of vision again. Not just a belief. Not just something spooky. Oh, I have faith in the Almighty Father of heaven and earth. I'm not talking about that. Not just hope. Not just a belief. Look, a lot of people have beliefs. Some people believe that there are aliens. Some people believe that Star Trek is really real. It's not. Some people believe that they're going to be the next Singapore Idol. They're not. They're not. Sorry, some people believe Sylvester can sing. He can't. All right. You can believe whatever you want, but faith is something different. It's not just a belief. In fact, Hebrews says this, faith is the substance. Everyone say substance of things hoped for. The evidence. Everyone say evidence of things not seen. Evidence, like in court, evidence, proof, something that resides inside your heart, not just some spooky belief. Because the Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 11, faith isn't just something people sing about. Oh, you know, maybe God will do it. Maybe he won't. Faith is this inside conviction that you know, God, you are going to break through in my generation. And I'm not going to stop until I get to the end. I'm going to keep working these steps. I'm going to keep pushing through the obstacles. I'm going to keep bringing people through and helping them to get to Jesus. You tried to get your friend to encounter. They didn't come. I'm not surprised. There are obstacles. Some of you tonight, you're here for the first time. Things didn't work out. Things were going wrong. You almost didn't come. I'm not surprised. There are obstacles. But you got to have faith, young person. The Bible says this in Hebrews. What more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets, who through faith, everyone say faith. Listen, this is their faith. Not just songs, prayers, spooky things, not just some, you know, little saint something up in heaven, who through faith subdued kingdoms, who through faith worked righteousness, who through faith obtained promises. This is reality, young person. Who through faith stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. That's the kind of faith God's talking about. Faith that doesn't give up. Faith that's real inside your heart. Faith that gets you up in the morning. Faith that makes you pray before you go to bed at night. Faith that keeps you going, I've got to make it. I've got to make it. I'm going to work through these steps. I'm going to do what I came to do. I'm passionate about my generation. I've got a vision inside of me, and nothing is going to stop me. No crowd, no roof, no goat, no grass, no nothing. Nothing's going to stop me from getting my generation to Jesus. Can you say amen? Close your Bibles. We're done tonight. I want you to welcome back the Covenant Players one last time.